Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a four-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right, you heard me right, 4 years for 30 bucks. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. Hello, America, and happy Friday. What a great show we have planned today. We're going to take most of the show to really focus on the instability, the insecurity of the world we're living in right now. There are multiple hotspots in the world. It isn't just Russia and Ukraine, though we need to be deeply concerned about that. It's also North Korea, which has fired a record number of rockets this year, clearly acting up and agitating, perceiving the Biden administration to either be unclear on policy or ignorant about what's going on there. Clearly China with Taiwan saber-rattling, very troublesome speech that President Xi gave last week, and that clearly has gotten people's attention. And then, of course, Iran with its many efforts at assassination of U.S. officials and providing kamikaze drones to the Russians to use against Ukrainians. So then we have to fund more of the war for Ukraine to defend against these kamikaze drones. So we've got two excellent, and I mean top-notch, national security experts on the show today. First up, Fred Flights, the former National Security Council Chief of Staff, former CIA analyst, really one of the most cogent voices in the national security space. He's going to give us a flyover over all of these hotspots, why they're hot, what it is that Joe Biden has done or not done that has made the world more unstable or unstable. And that's going to be a great conversation. And then we're going to go to Israel and talk to the former Israeli ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren. He's a great author. He is a lifelong diplomat. He understands the United States and Israel so well. We're going to talk about the Saudi Arabia slight, the Iran failures. Joe Biden's not going to get that Iran deal, doesn't look like. At least certainly not right now. And Michael Oren will bring us up to see that. It's great to have the ambassador back on the show. It's been a few months, and I always enjoyed his insights and his understanding, particularly of the Middle East region, where Donald Trump made so much progress, and there's not been as much progress as we would have liked. I think a lot of people feel that way. All right. First, a little breaking news. I broke a story last night with my good colleague, Nick Ballasy, our congressional correspondent. So I think a very important story. The Freedom Caucus, which is the most conservative wing of the House Republican Caucus, it gave us people like Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan and Andy Biggs and Scott Perry and so many others. And it used to be a small group, but influential group. Now it is growing and growing in size and influence. And they're beginning to see the polling like you're seeing the polling and I'm seeing the polling. That is that Republicans are likely to gain control of the House. And so preparations are being made for what happens immediately after. Because believe it or not, what happens before the new members are sworn in are nearly as important as what happens later in the year. And the House Freedom Caucus, which has had its battles with past leaders, including Kevin McCarthy, certainly Paul Ryan and John Boehner before them, they wrote a long memo. I think it's about 58 pages long. And its theme is, are you ready for what comes next? Because Congress is worse than you think. And it's written from the Freedom Caucus as experienced lawmakers to the likely freshmen, the Joe Kents of the world, people who are likely to join, win their races in November and join the congressional majority next year if Republicans have control of the Congress. It is a throwdown of a gauntlet. It puts Republican leaders and all of the lawmakers in the Republican caucus, and quite frankly, some of those in the Democratic caucus too, on notice. because the House Freedom Caucus wants to pair with all of these new lawmakers elected in the next few weeks, if they are, to hold out for radical change in the way the House operates, because Congress is, as they say in the opening of this really fantastic document, it's worse than you thought. Hey, freshmen or future freshmen, this place is a cesspool, it says, and you can change it. And what they've asked these new freshmen, assuming that they get elected, to do is to not be co-opted by the leadership, not to be co-opted by more experienced lawmakers, to hold out and radically change the rules of Congress. Like, let's not pass laws until we've had time to read them. Let's allow committee members to pick their committee chairman instead of the leadership. A lot of different ideas. Let's have regular order again, meaning let's have a budget that's approved as opposed to the continuing resolutions that Democrats and, quite frankly, sometimes Republicans use. Great line in the documents, a direct quote. Republicans ran to fix Washington. We cannot continue to govern in the same way that broke it. That's a common sense thing. Congressman Scott Perry, current chairman of this Freedom Caucus, the conservative wing of the Republican House. And like I said, gave us some big names. Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan, Andy Biggs, Scott Perry, among the many members who have grown out of this caucus into prominent national figures. But they warn these lawmakers, hey, guys, people are going to come to try to co-opt you. Don't fall for it. I mean, this is literally accusing their leadership of what they're likely to do in the election. Some of the most important votes come before you are even sworn into office, they tell the new lawmakers. Will you be ready, they ask. The simple truth is that it perfectly suits some in the Republican caucus if you are unprepared or unaware of the significance of what's going to happen in November. Some will urge you to be a team player by falling in line with leadership and doing what you're told. You'll be warned not to rock the boat by raising questions or concerns with leadership's agenda. Before you make any decisions, however, you should be aware of the realities here in Washington and the opportunities we have to change them. This is a call to arms. This is a throwing down of the gauntlet. What it signals is that the conservative wing of the House caucus, the Republican caucus, the Freedom Caucus, with some of its most high-profile Republican members, they're going to be holding their own to account. They're not going to let backroom deals be had. They're not going to allow the status quo to exist. And they picked a first fight after leadership, after the elections that occur in November after the election. They have a plan to, as they say it, set the House right, meaning getting it fixed. One of the first fights they identify is the year-end spending bill, because Democrats once again delayed passing a budget. And so funding runs out in December, which means the lame duck Congress is going to have to deal with it. And the Freedom Caucus tells new members, you've got to help us pressure the leadership, even though you're not in office yet, pressure the leadership not to make a year-long deal with the Democrats that gunks up an entire year of the budget with liberal priorities from a party that could be losing control of Congress. Here's the line they say. Republicans must be united in opposition and allow our incoming freshmen reinforcements to arrive and take our anticipated majority in January so that they and the voters who will send them to Washington can have a voice on legislation to fund the government as well as other must-pass bills such as the National Defense Authorization Act. All right, this is a warning. The warning is, hey, we're going to have a fight in December. We may shut down the government in December. We are not taking this laying down, and you new freshmen should pair with us, the Freedom Caucus, to cause trouble, to force Republicans not to accept the status quo, but to radically change it for the better of America. An unbelievable document. I've posted the whole document. You can click it and download it. It's an unbelievable document, and I think one that you'll want to read. Also, some headlines that just happened. Steve Bannon, he's been sentenced to 4 months in prison for contempt of Congress. He could also be ordered to pay a $6,500 fine, but it's on abeyance. It's been held up until all of his appeals are exhausted. So it could be a few months or a couple of years before that happens. That is a pretty big news. A lot of people have been watching that. Last night, a major election integrity win in the state of Michigan. The RNC, the Republican National Committee, the Michigan GOP, and some other groups won a ruling that Secretary of State, the Democratic Secretary of State in Michigan, cannot keep poll observers away from the polls, much like happened in Detroit in 2020. This is a big win. It's going to be felt across the country. It shows that this year, Republicans have learned some of their lessons from 2020. They're challenging provisions and rules before the election, not after, where they couldn't have any success. That is a very important development in that world. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Fred Flights, one of the great national security experts in the country, followed by former Israeli ambassador to the United States, Ambassador Michael Oren. He'll be here. And before that, I wanted to welcome a brand new partner to the John Solomon Reports family. I know winter's coming. When I'm out at my cabin up in the mountains in the winter, it gets cold. I sometimes will go out and start cutting wood or cutting trees up. It's 7-8 in the morning and it can be 20, 25 degrees outside. And so I want to keep myself warm. And I've got a unbelievable product I use to keep myself warm in very cold, often 30 mile an hour winds on the mountain. It's called, in two words or less, heat holders. Heat holders. That's a pretty easy name. Heat holders make the warmest thermal socks around, and they keep your feet warmer than original ordinary socks. And by the way, that's true in the coldest conditions. I mean, no matter how cold it gets, heat holders work. Heat holders uses a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch, so it doesn't feel scratchy like some of the old heavy socks we used to wear. But it's also brushed on the outside, and it traps warm air closer to your skin, which keeps you warmer. Your feet are going to be warmer. You're going to be warmer. I always tell you, the two places where you lose the most heat, your feet, your head. In cold weather, this is the way to do it. I love heat holders. I don't go out in the winter and start cutting down trees or splitting logs or shoveling snow or plowing snow or going on my UTV and riding through the quiet, crazy country in a cold day unless I got my heat holders on. And by the way, they don't just do socks. That's where I started, right? I first learned about heat holders when I realized, hey, I don't want cold feet when I'm out there. I want my boots to be warm, my feet to be warm. But they also make an extraordinary other things to help you fight the elements. They got hats, gloves, throws, scarves, and much more. I've got a whole collection. I'm going to take a picture of this and send it to you. I'm going to be up at the cabin this week and doing some work, and you're going to see me decked out on Saturday morning when it's 20 degrees out there. I'll show you what I have. Glove, hat, throws, scarves, and of course, the warmest socks and the most comfortable socks you can have. Now, our friends at Heat Holders have made a special deal for us. If you go to heatholders.com and enter the code JUSTNEWS, you're going to get 15% off your order plus receive free shipping. That is a darn good deal. These things are great Christmas gifts. They're great birthday gifts for anyone who's got a birthday in the winter months. Everybody has to go out at some point, shovel the snow, get the leaves out of the gutters, whatever it is on these cold days of fall and winter. Keep yourself warm from the outside in with heat holders. I love that. And when you support them, you're supporting this podcast. You're supporting the investigative journalism at justthenews.com. You're supporting the television show, Just the News, No Noise with Amanda Head and I. So please reach out and help them. Heatholders.com. It's on my bookmarks. I go there often. Heatholders.com. Enter the code JustNews and you're going to save 15%. That's a great deal, especially with the cold temperatures already arrived. I mean, I woke up this morning, was in the 30s. I'm like, whoa, time to get my heat holders out. Go do it, guys. All right. Speaking of warmth, we're going to have some warm ideas from one of the greatest national security thinkers in the world. Up next, Fred Flights, right after this commercial break. Folks, eat stress-free this spring. How? With Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. That's great for a busy person like me. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your Springtown goals. Why do I use Factor Meals? Well, it's real simple. I'm busy, but I want to eat healthy. And if it only takes you 2 minutes, I'm all in on healthy eating. And the best part is that Factor Meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you got to do is simply heat and savor the good stuff. Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. I love asparagus. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50 and use the code justnews50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That code, one more time, is justnews50 at factormeals.com/justnews50. What are you going to do? You're going to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. while your subscription is active. That's a great deal. One more time. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50. Use the promo code justnews50 for half off your first order. Hey, folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home. All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. This next guest is one of my favorite national security experts in the world, really able to crystallize the threats facing America in this turbulent time, and former chief of staff to the National Security Council, one of the CIA's great analysts for many years, and just one of the clear-visioned security experts in a very murky world. Joining me right now, my good friend, Fred Flights. Fred, welcome back to the show.
Hey, John, good to be here.
We are living in some pretty turbulent and scary times, and I want to start with the one that everybody's worried about, Russia, Ukraine. Now we're seeing kamikaze drones. We see reports of nuclear weapon threats. How dangerous is this moment, and what, if anything, is the United States going to do to try to defuse it?
Well, I think it's a very dangerous development, and it shows that despite the fact that his army is getting routed in Ukraine, Putin isn't backing down. He's going to keep taking losses, at least until the weather gets bad. And in the meantime, he's just decided to punish the Ukrainians by destroying its infrastructure, power, and water with drones it's buying from Iran. And these are fairly unsophisticated kamikaze drones. The thing is that there's a lot of them, and they can be shot down, but it's hard to shoot all of them down. And you might ask, well, why is Russia buying these drones from Iran? Well, because it can't get weapons from anyone else. The Chinese make some of the best drones on Earth. So Putin is forced to get weapons from North Korea and Iran because he is so severely isolated. And I think he's going to do a lot of damage in Ukraine with this tactic.
Yeah. And any doubt now that this is a war against civilians, when you hit the water and the electricity, you're not punishing the army anymore. You're punishing the everyday civilians of Ukraine. This gets into some dangerous territory for Putin as well, doesn't it?
Well, the new General Sorokin, who was just named to head forces in Ukraine, was named for several reasons. First of all, he has had some success in so-called complex conflicts, such as in Syria and in Chechnya, and he's used brutal attacks against civilians to achieve his aims. He also was able to achieve some success because he has served with different branches of the Russian military. And one problem with the military in Ukraine is that the different branches and divisions don't talk to one another. So it's the job of this guy to try to get the military's act in order to get them to cooperate with each other. I don't think that he's going to succeed, but I mean, you can see that Putin is trying to react to his failures with a major personnel change.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's no doubt it's going to be a longer slog, this war. One of the things that I think a lot of people have concern about, are we going to see people freezing to death in Europe with the energy shortages on top of the war? There's going to be a disruption of energy supplies unlike we've seen in many years. How concerned are you just for the regular everyday people of Eastern Europe?
You know, it's going to be bad in Eastern Europe and Western Europe. It's going to be severe in Ukraine. And, you know, I see people talking about, well, let's come up with a strategy for victory, a strategy for success in Ukraine. Well, look, maybe we could arm the Ukrainians to the teeth and force the Russians to withdraw next spring. And in the meantime, the people of Ukraine will starve and freeze to death during the summer because their energy and water has been destroyed by Russian missiles. That's not a victory. That's why I really think it is a huge mistake by this administration in Europe not to put the utmost importance on negotiations to end the war now. This talk about, well, we're just going to support the Ukrainians until they win is so incredibly foolish. First of all, we're wearing down our stocks of weapons. But the Russians aren't just going to walk away. They're going to wreck the country with missiles. This conflict has to end.
There is no upside to it. There doesn't seem to be a definition of success from our president. Every military mission, whether we're in a support role like we are with Ukraine or direct conflict like we were in Afghanistan and Iraq, there's always a definition of what the American interest is, what's the end game, how do we define victory. All three of those definitions seem to be missing from the Biden presidency. Does that create some ambiguity for both enemies and allies that makes us even more dangerous?
It's a real problem because when we use the word success and we use the word victory, in this conflict, we're looking at an outcome. We're looking at what's the best outcome we can get. Maybe we can call that success. I'm not going to use the word victory because I think everybody loses in this Ukraine conflict. But there's no strategy. They don't know what the outcome will be. The strategy seems to be, let's dump as many weapons as we can on the Ukrainians, and eventually they're going to win. And that isn't going to happen. That's not a realistic way of going forward. That is simply a strategy for inviting the Russians to level the country, which is what they're doing.
Yeah, such an important point to note. And I think most Americans are starting to realize, I don't know what the end game is here. Wait, 10, 20, 30, 50, $60 billion flowing out the door. What for? What are we trying to accomplish? No one can answer that question. It's kind of scary. One of the things I like about you, Fred, when the rest of the world is watching one conflict, you have your eye on several others. And it hasn't gotten the same attention as Russia, but North Korea is acting really badly, really often right now. The rockets near the Seoul border, the missile that went over Japan. What the heck is going on there? And is this another hot zone that we're not prepared for?
Well, the America First Policy Institute is going to issue my paper within the next few hours.
Ooh, exciting.
Looking at Biden's North Korea strategy. It's a 20-page analysis. It looks at all the mistakes. The North Koreans have tested 49 missiles this year. That's the most ever in a single year. They tested about 35 in 2016. It's a huge increase. They've tested ICBMs. They fired a missile over Japan. The South Korean government thinks that they could test a nuclear weapon by mid-November. All the progress won by President Trump to improve relations with North Korea and lower tensions. We know his strategy wasn't completely successful, but he significantly lowered tensions. That's all gone. And this all happened after Afghanistan. After the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, the North Koreans saw they were being ignored by the Biden administration. They saw Biden's weakness, and they ramped up their WMD programs.
It's pretty scary to watch. And there's another thing. When I'm in the Pentagon and I talk to folks, I'm picking up some really grave concerns that we're depleting Stingers and Javelins for our own defense and our own offense so that they go to Ukraine. They let the Stingers and Javelin missiles go out the door quicker than they had a way to restock them. And so that we're at dangerously low levels is what some of the Pentagon officials are saying. I mean, this is basic 101 war footing. Hey, if you're going to help another country and our armament's going there, have a plan to fill it. People say it's just going to be a slow replenishment. Are you concerned about that? Are you heard concerns like that?
Well, the new Heritage Foundation report on the American military, which graded it as weak for the first time ever, reflects that, how our weapons stockpiles are low in large part because of the war in Ukraine, which means if there's another war or if we need to provide weapons to Taiwan, those weapons aren't going to be there because we're not these weapons are complicated to make. They're expensive. My guess is the Biden administration has put no priority whatsoever into weapons production, and there's going to be a severe shortfall. It's a dangerous situation.
Yeah. How does a guy that has 50 years, allegedly, of foreign policy experience not have the basics of war and foreign policy down? I mean, it's just so shocking to me. Maybe Bob Gates' comment applies, right? He's never been right about any foreign policy issue in his entire career, but these are the basics. You would think the people around it would say, all right, hey, we depleted Stingers. Let's get them back online. It doesn't seem like the basics of governance get done under this presidency.
Well, Bob Gates said, I think it was in 2013, that Biden has been wrong about every national security issue for decades. That's when he was a young man. He didn't have good sense of national security when he had his senses about him. Now, as he's walking around eating ice cream and saying incomprehensible things and reversing our Taiwan policy every time he opens his mouth, it's not a surprise that major issues like maintaining our weapons arsenal isn't being tended to. This man's incompetent.
Yeah, it's really scary. But you are starting to hear that even from people on the Democrat side, like, hey, we're actually in danger. We're naked on some stuff. And these are people that were all in on the Biden presidency back in 2020. It's very, very interesting. I want to take you to one other one because you mentioned Taiwan, China. Given what China sees, this extraordinarily unprepared, vacillating, unclear presidency, does China have a greater temptation if it's ever going to take on Taiwan? I watched Yi's speech last week. It was very disturbing to watch the language and fervor he had about Taiwan and also accusing the America of external intervention with some of the things that happened, Nancy Pelosi comments president made. Is this a dangerous moment for them?
I think the chances are increasing. I don't think China's there right now. But it's worth noting, whether we're talking about China or Saudi Arabia or any other country, that relations with these nations have been antagonized for no good reason. Why isn't Blinken flying to Beijing to meet with his counterpart? Why isn't his counterpart meeting here? I've heard that Blinken doesn't talk to his Russian and Chinese counterparts. I thought these were the adults in the room, the foreign relations pros.
That's how they ran.
But, I mean, they don't seem to know what they're doing. The national security strategy, for example, supposed to come out in the first year of a president's term, just came out in October. The missile defense strategy is late. The military strategy is late. What are these people doing in the National Security Council?
It is a great question. It's unanswered, really. If you get 5 minutes with the president, whoever the president is, what advice do you give him on the three big conflicts? What do we got to do with North Korea, China, and Russia to get some strategic stability in the world?
I think I told you this before. He has to fire his national security team, and he has to bring in men and women with gravitas and experience to start engaging in serious diplomacy, serious bilateral talks, to lower tensions with China and try to find a way to bring about a negotiated settlement to the conflict in Ukraine and just turn off this ridiculous effort to get a new nuclear deal with Iran that will give Iran $30 billion. $1 trillion in sanctions relief by 2030.
Yeah, it's stunning. And meanwhile, it's that Iran that's sending the kamikaze drones to Russia to attack our allies so that we can send billions to our ally to defend against those things. It's actually, they've created a circle of war, haven't they, by empowering Iran to make the last deal gave Iran the money to start building weapons like this, right?
You know, I think you're right. But what worries me is that when the election's over, I think the Iran talks will start up again.
No kidding.
Because I think Biden will calculate that he can make a bad deal in early 2023. And by the time the 2024 election comes around, Americans will forget about it.
Yeah. Wow. That's a scary thing. But do you have any doubt that the Obama era deal allowed Iran to make things like these kamikaze drones that they're now shipping to Iran? I mean, that was the big pressure valve release, right? They got all this cash back in 15, 16, 17. Is that a cycle of war that now comes back to haunt us?
There was a huge surge in the Iranian military spending when it got sanctions relief under the JCPOA in late 2015 and early 2016. And that's what will happen again. Iran spent money on terrorists. It sent troops into Syria. It spent money on its missile program, I'm sure on its nuclear program. This sanctions relief, we know where it's going to go. It's not going to go to help the Iranian people.
No, it's not. And last question, because we had a conversation about this last time we were on the show. Barack Obama seemed to have a great revisionist moment last week when he said, I made a mistake. I should have embraced the people of Iran during the Green Movement of 2009. Convenient to do it now. But there is some truism in his statement, isn't there?
He's right. When the people of Iran were being beaten up by security police during the demonstrations after the fraudulent 2009 presidential election, Obama said nothing. It was the French who led the free world in speaking out against the bloody protests by Iranian security. It was not a good moment for our country.
Yeah, it sure wasn't. And it reminded a lot of people maybe of just the way we reacted in Tiananmen Square. A lot of people thought we were too muted then, but it was way more muted in 2009, and pretty remarkable to see the missed opportunity and some revisionism. Now, Fred, it's always an honor to have you on. Thank you for the work you do, and particularly on North Korea. A lot of people have their eye off that ball. That ball is very dangerous right now. We're so lucky. I can't wait to see that paper.
Okay, I'll get you a copy. Thanks, John.
Thank you, my friend. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Ambassador Michael Oren, the former Israeli diplomat to the United States, knows the Middle East better than anyone. He's going to help us explain why Saudi Arabia, Israel, so many other countries in the Middle East now find themselves at odds with the American administration run by Joe Biden, the lack of clarity, the confusing signals they've sent, the unnecessary feuds that they've erupted. Michael Oren, Ambassador Michael Oren, going to make sense of that right after this commercial message. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't, you'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. He is the former Israeli ambassador to the United States, an expert on all things Middle East, a best-selling author, and an all-around great guy. Former Ambassador Michael Oren joins us now. Mr. Ambassador, thank you for joining us tonight.
Always delightful, John. Amanda, good to see you.
Good to have you on, sir. So I want to start with something a lot of Americans have a question about. We could negotiate a nuclear deal with Iran. We got billions of dollars to go there. They develop a lethal drone program. Now those kamikaze drones are back in Russia, helping Russia attack Ukraine. By the way, we now have to pay to defend Ukraine. The cycle that we created here, it must drive a lot of our allies nuts.
A little nutty. It was more than that. Had that Iran nuclear deal been renewed, which is what people in Washington want to do, not only in Washington, the major benefactor, in addition to Iran, would have been Russia. Iran's nuclear stockpile would have been shipped out to Russia, would have paid Russia to warehouse it. Russia has contracted to build 8 new nuclear reactors in Iran. Russia would have been the huge beneficiary of this entire deal. And now you see this, it's all out in the open, how Iran is allied with Russia militarily. And that deal would have paid for Russia's war in Ukraine, with Iran now aiding that war in Ukraine with these drones.
Yeah, amazing.
Insane. That, by definition.
Ambassador,
not.
Yeah. It's nuts. And I want to ask you about something that I refer to as one of the sexiest hunks of metal on the planet, Israel's Iron Drone. Talk to us about Israel's involvement and with these Iranian drones, how that could potentially drag them into this conflict.
Well, drag us into the conflict. Well, there's a big debate here now whether Israel should provide the Iron Dome anti-ballistic system to Ukraine. And I want to put my cards on the table. I was, it's probably my proudest achievement as ambassador was bringing the American funds for Iron Dome. It has proven to be the first anti-ballistic system that's successful in combat situations. It's about 95% success, which is quite extraordinary. And it's very effective at taking down standoff rockets. That's rockets that go up in the air and come down. Okay, and the Iron Dome hits it here. If it's a cruise missile that's going like this and someone's with a joystick, it's much more complex. Israel and the United States have developed a system known as David Sling, which in theory can interdict a cruise missile. It hasn't been tried in combat yet, and it's very pricey. Each interceptor costs about $1 billion, very pricey. I'm in favor of providing Ukraine with the Iron Dome system, which would be effective, maybe not in taking down the drones, but some of the standoff rockets that are being fired at civilian cities. And I think also, you know, it's diplomatically, strategically, but also morally, it's the right thing to do. Now, I got to give the devils its due and say that the people who oppose it here are afraid of many things. And the biggest one is the fate of between 400,000 and 600,000 Jews in Russia. And you don't know. You don't know what Putin could do. Putin could draft them all, or worse. And it's a legitimate fear. I think it's worth the risk, personally. I think we have to come down on the right side of history on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what people are looking at right now. Mr. Ambassador, while this goes on, obviously the kamikaze drones also pose a threat in the Middle East. There's been an interesting building of alliances beyond the Abraham Accords. Now we're beginning to see Israeli, Sunni, Arab, Middle East defense network is sort of evolving kind of quietly and slowly, but a real sign that people are beginning to cooperate. How important is that to the future aggression of Iran?
It's very important. It sends an unequivocal message to the Iranians. Listen, at the end of the day, Amanda, John, we're going to defend ourselves by ourselves. We can't rely on anybody else. And that includes the United States of America. That's why we have this country, why we have an independent Jewish state, so we can defend ourselves. The drones, however, pose a very serious strategic threat. They're difficult to take down. They can hide behind a tree. They can hide behind a building and then attack. Imagine the kind of sophisticated interceptor you need to take out that drone. And that is why the Iranians and their terrorist proxies, whether it be Hezbollah, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, are investing so heavily in drones. And our military has been focused on this. Probably the best answer is coming down the tubes in the coming years. It is going to be a laser, folks. It's a laser. It's not a rocket. And it will concentrate energy at the drones and knock them out of the sky.
Fascinating.
And by the way, for
Ambassador,
pennies a shot. Cost a lot of money. The economics plays a role here. You got to think, you know, right. Their rockets cost nothing. Even Iron Dome cost about $60,000 a pop.
Wow.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I wanted to ask you, you talked about being on the right side of history. Someone who surprisingly acknowledged that he was not on the right side of history on Friday, former President Barack Obama appeared on a podcast, Pod Save America, and he was talking about the Green Movement 13 years ago, the uprising within Iran. We are now seeing that taking place nearly a month of that. What are your thoughts on his acknowledgement that he should have supported that uprising over a decade ago?
Well, better late than never. I watched in real time the president's reaction to the Green Revolution in 2009. I was sitting with Prime Minister Netanyahu at the television set. And what can I say? We were kind of tearing our hair out. And how could they miss an opportunity like that? Here, the people of Iran were rising up against this heinous regime, and the United States was staying out of it. The excuse we got was that the United States had heard from leaders of the revolution that they didn't want American support because the regime had used that against them. We didn't, what can I say? We didn't exactly buy that. And that opportunity was missed. P.S., Prime Minister Netanyahu came out unequivocally in support of the Green Revolution.
Yeah, such an important moment and missed at the time. You have elections coming up in Israel just a few weeks away. What is the sentiments on the ground? What's the issue upon which this election is going to turn? And is Benjamin Netanyahu likely to be back in power sometime in the not-so-distant future?
Great question. Well, some of the surprising issues, the major issue in Israeli politics pretty much since the founding of the state in 1948 has been security, 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 security. But this time, for the first time ever, the polls show that what Israelis care most about is the cost of living. Now, I know you can appreciate this in America. It's inflation, particularly the price of housing, which went up 17.5% last year, 19% this year. You know, our per capita income is very high. We're closing in on Germany. We passed Japan and Italy, but we can buy less and less. And our kids are really, really struggling. Even if they're high-tech engineers, they're struggling. So that is a huge issue. Who's going to have an answer for the for our economic crisis? But at the end of the day, this round of election is about two words. And it's the same two words that have characterized Israeli elections for almost close to a quarter of a century, believe it or not. Those two words are Benjamin Netanyahu. And the Israeli electorate gets divided between those who want to see him elected and believe in him deeply, and those who don't. I happen to live in a working class neighborhood. He's beloved around here. You don't say a word against the Bibi around here. But you go a little bit further north to the more affluent areas, and they despise him. And so that's going to be the big issue once again. And I want to say that every single election going back, close to 10 years, the chattering classes have said that this is Bibi's last election. This is it. He's gone. And I just want to say for the upteenth time that it is always premature to eulogize Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah. A sixth term for the premier. That would be amazing to see. So we will definitely be keeping our eye on that. I wanted to ask you before we go, though, you outed yourself on Twitter as a novelist among all of your other talents and skills. Tell us about your book coming out later this month, Swan's War, what it's about, where people can find it.
Well, you can find it on Amazon. Hopefully you'll be in your bookstores next week. It comes out on the 25th of October. It is a whodunit, which I've never written before. It's very challenging to write a whodunit. Got to keep your reader on the edge of her and his seat, and then surprise them all the time. But it's an unusual plot. What can I say? It takes place on an island that I made up off the coast of Massachusetts in 1944. It's about Mary Beth Swan, a female cop. Back then they were called women policemen. And they didn't carry guns. They didn't walk beats. But Mary Beth Swan marries the chief captain, the chaplain of police from this island. And then he goes off to fight in the Pacific. And she's left as the chief of police of this island, Fourth Cliff, which would have been hard enough because the people don't like her. They're tough, you know, maritime New Englanders. They don't take very lightly to a Boston Irish policewoman. But things get a little worse. On the island are in turn 90 Italian prisoners of war. And one after another, they show up murdered. So Mary Beth Swan not only has to deal with being alone, she has to deal with this hostile environment. She has to find a serial killer on the loose on Fourth Cliff Island. Swan's War. I won't tell you the ending. I won't tell you who did it.
I can't wait to read it. I'm a son of an Irish cop, and also I'm a
hooker. Oh, you're going to love this.
I am.
She's the granddaughter and daughter of Irish cops. How about that?
Well, and I love your fiction. The work you have done is amazing. You're an amazing author. Folks, go check out that book. It is going to be a bestseller. Mr. Ambassador, thanks for the time.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for the day.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Justin News. So grateful you can join us. Big thank you to Fred Flights. A big thank you to Ambassador Michael Oren. Two great guests. A lot of food for thought in those conversations. I'm always grateful when we get such smart, thought-provoking guests like we had today. And hey, remember that special offer we have. Winter's here. You're going to be out shoveling, splitting wood, stacking wood, cleaning the gutters, raking the leaves. It's going to be 20, 30 degrees out. Keep the heat closer to your body with Heat Holders. They make the best socks, the best gloves, the best throws, the best scarves. You're going to be warm from the inside out if you go with my good friends at heatholders.com. And they're supporting us, so you should support them. All you got to do is enter the code JUSTNEWS, and you're going to save 15% off your order. Heatholders.com. Use the code JUSTNEWS. 15% off and free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. That is a great deal. Go check them out. They're such amazing partners. They make the journalism here possible. Tell them you love them. Buy some gloves. Buy some scarves. Buy some hats. They're great Christmas gifts. They're the warmest you're ever going to get anywhere in the country. Go get it. My favorite winter wear for sure. All right, that wraps it up. Hey, we got a great weekend of guests. We're not going to let you down. We've got Saturday and Sunday editions that are going to be rocking it. Saturday, we're going to play an interview with Scooter Libby. You probably have forgotten that name. Very important player in the past, the former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney, a major national security player until he was indicted for outing the identity of a CIA officer. He's been mostly silent even after former President Donald Trump pardoned Scooter Libby and removed that felony from his record. One of my good colleagues here at Just the News, Roger Aronoff, had a great interview with Scooter Libby. It's one of the first times he's talked. We're going to play that. And then Mark Levin, who is really one of the most important voices in all of education, really more than education, he's really educating the public about finding the right balance between social justice reform and making sure we continue to crack down on crime. The Democrats have taken it far to one string. We're letting all the bad guys out, leaving all the innocent people victimized. He has been on the front voice of making sure we enforce the law, stand behind the blue, but also find ways for people who aren't going to go back to crime to find a pathway to normalcy and productivity in America. A very, very thoughtful man. Mark Levin is going to be here. He's from the Council on Criminal Justice, one of the most important conservative voices in criminal justice reform, and you're going to love that interview on Saturday. Then Sunday, what a lineup we got. You know what? It's election season. We're 19 days from election day. That's time for us to really pay attention. We've got Kerry Lake, the candidate for Arizona governor who's tearing it up all over the country. Kerry Lake had a great conversation with us. Why her tussles with the mainstream media are paying off, why her message is resonating, why her Democrat candidate wouldn't debate her, which has been a major issue in all of Arizona. Kerry Lake is on the House. She'll be the lead guest. Joe Kent, former Green Beret, one of the most decorated heroes in America, now running for a House seat in Washington State, up in the polls, could be one of these new congressmen coming in later in the year. He's on the show. The great pollster Scott Rasmussen, my friend, always good at making predictions on elections. You can take him to the bank. And another great pollster, Robert Cahaly at Trafalgar Group, another one who is on the front lines of being right, of measuring voters the way they really are, not using old samples that favor Democratic and liberal politicians, but recognizing the shifts in Hispanics that Maria Salazar talked about. They're all going to be here this weekend on Sunday. And then we're going to wrap up with my friend, by the way, his podcast is on the Just the News Network, same network I'm on, Victor Davis Hanson, one of the greatest historians and one of the greatest thought leaders in America. He's going to take on for us the Great Reset. That is a marketing term for the new globalist liberal agenda in America, a thing called stakeholder capitalism. Beware. What it means is elitist stakeholders get to decide what to do with your money to carry out their agenda rather than make you the most return on investment. Victor Davis Hanson is going to break down the Great Reset, why it's wrong. You heard a little bit about this from my good friend Seamus Bruner yesterday, but he is going to break it out. You're going to have a great conversation. What a great way to finish up Sunday. That is some food for thought. Kerry Lake, Joe Kent, Scott Rasmussen, Robert Cahaly, Victor Davis Hanson. I'm so proud to bring that show to you. We'll have that on Sunday. All right, folks, have a great start to your weekend. God bless you. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with Scooter Libby, that exclusive interview, and Mark Levin. You won't want to miss either of those great guests. podcast tomorrow. Have a good night. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.